Good morning.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, gosh. Raymond, I'm letting you know I don't want to be Mr. of Announcements anymore. Thank you for that. That was good. I want to. You can see you can sing hymns. I want to hear the front row singing hymns from now on. Very good. It's glad to see you this morning. My name is Jeff Allen, Associate Pastor of Students and Families here at College Park. We are so glad that you are here this morning, whether a member or a guest. We want to make sure we have a record of your attendance this morning. You have a pew pad on every one of the pews. We invite you to take that out and to sign your name and all the information that you feel comfortable filling out. Members, just put in any information that has changed, like an email address or a phone number. And then we ask guests to fill out as completely as you can and check the boxes as you feel comfortable as well. And then send that all the way down to the end of the pew, and when it gets down there, send it right back to where it started. And we invite our guests to do this, and our members to pay attention to any guests that are on the pew with you. You can peek, see what their names are, and introduce yourself at the end of the service. There are some resources available for you. It is Lent. It is our journey towards the cross, and there are two pieces that we have made available to you. At the Welcome Center desk, you have a piece called The Greatest Sacrifice. This is a devotional piece for you to have devotions each day. We know we're halfway through Lent, but you can double up on your daily devotions, do one in the morning, do one in the evening. You'll finish that book on time. So that is available. And also, God's Sacrifice for You. This is a book that you can give away to a friend, invite them to Easter services. So these are two pieces that you could find at the Welcome Center. They are running out very quickly, so make sure that you pick those up as soon as possible. Reminder to our children this morning, we are having children's time. We have one of our own youth, Bryn Hobson, is going to come and lead this children's time. It's during hymn number 338, the very last verse of that hymn. Come on down, and Bryn will meet you down here that a little bit later in the service. Regular schedule this afternoon, everything is like normal. I do want to recognize Pat Blackwell for an announcement.
I'd just like to tell you about an event that's coming up. Well, it's already started. The Baptist Children's Home are having their 2006 food roundup beginning now through April the 22nd. Because of the tremendous success that they had last year, the Children's Home saved over $200,000. And this year they're asking your help to support them again. You can find a food list like this at the Visitor Center. You can find it at the church office, or I hope you found it in your Sunday school classrooms. I hope you'll take this list with you, put it with your shopping list, put it in your car, and when you shop for your family, shop for the Baptist Children's Home. The first Baptist Children's Home was established in 1885 in North Carolina, and now there are 12 all over North Carolina. They are serving 2,000 children. Each home is devoted to helping hurting children and healing broken families. You can also purchase gift cards if you like. They need gift cards from Food Lion, from Lowe's, from Sam's, and Walmart. Because of their license, they cannot serve any food that has an expiration date that's been expired. So if you give vegetables, please check the expiration date. Boxes have been placed in Smith Hall, and the WMU will collect all the food items and take to the collection site. The collection site is at Rinalda Manor in front of the Lowe's Food Store. Pilot Mountain Baptist Association is helping with this collection. And if anybody would like to volunteer to work at the collection site, they would love for you to call the association office. The site is only open on Thursday, Friday, and Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. So if you'd like to volunteer, they also need to have a man at the site every time. There were like three or four people. Also, everybody at the Baptist Children's Home want to thank you in advance because they had such a big success last year. They would like to thank you and let you know that that when you give to the food roundup and when you help them, you help their children understand the power of love and the value of sharing. I hope you'll support this 2006 food roundup. Thank you.
That is a very valuable ministry that our state does, and we appreciate any support that you can provide. We have lots of things that are happening in the life of our church, how we serve our community, and one of the ways you find out about those are a newsletter. And for our guests this morning, we have ushers that are coming down the aisles. We would like for you to raise your hand. This newsletter tells you about things that are going on both inside of the church and how we're serving outside the church. So we invite you to raise your hand, and the ushers are coming down the aisles now. And take a newsletter if you're a guest this morning. Find out ways that you can get involved in things that are happening and that you may not know about. This is a great way. The newsletter is a great way for you to find those things out. We appreciate you being here this morning. I think those are all my announcements this morning, but I would like to recognize Fred Patterson. Fred, come on up.
That's a pretty good birthday party we gave Jeff this morning. What for breakfast? Good morning.
Morning.
I'm Fred Patterson, your Sunday School Director, and I just want to thank everyone for being here today. This is Sunday School Celebration Day. It is not a recognition day of any one person's exemplary or attendance or anything like that, or their service in Sunday School. It is to celebrate the significance of Sunday School in the life of our church. And I want to thank all of you who came to breakfast this morning. I don't know what the final count was. It's close to 300, I'd say, in that range. And it was a wonderful time. If you didn't get a chance to be here this morning for our drop-in breakfast that started at 8:45, you missed a great spread and a great time of fellowship. And I want to thank a couple of individuals who did make that possible, who are part of our Sunday School Council. Beth Huff, wherever she is, was very instrumental in pulling all that together, along with Alice and Don Wilson, and some other Sunday School council members. We had help from, I could tell, from Bowtie Florist, I'm sure, for the wonderful decorations and all. We just had a wonderful time this morning, and it was a great day, great time to start off this day. You'll notice that in your bulletin there is a bookmark. Everybody pull out their bookmark and hold it up in the air. This bookmark has on it the theme for Sunday School for this year: Are You Connected? What does that really mean? Well, that's what Sunday School Celebration is meant today to do, is to kick that off and help you understand what being connected as a Christian really should mean. And hopefully throughout the year, you'll use this bookmark and keep it in your Bible to remind yourself to be connected in God's Word. Seek Him, love Him, follow Him, and serve Him. This is the Sunday School Council's gift to you for being a part of a group Bible study through Sunday School in this church. And we hope you'll use it. And if you want some more, it can probably come up with some more somewhere. But we've got them, so we hope that you'll use them. I'd like to take a couple of minutes to recognize groups of people, though, who are important in the life of Sunday School in this church. First off, I think without leadership, without folks who are willing to give of their time to teach Sunday School, whether it's with crib babies all the way up through adult four, it's an awesome responsibility. And I would like to take this opportunity to recognize all the teachers, past and present, who are responsible for leading Bible study, to please stand. Keep standing. We're not through. Keep standing, all you teachers. All those who also assist them in workers in Sunday School, please stand. Others who might be assisting them in some capacity, thank you. We want to express our sincerest thanks for each of you, because having to come up with lesson plans and with activities and with just all and calling people and keeping up prayer lists and keeping the wheels turning in Sunday School is an awesome responsibility. And I thank you, and this church thanks you again. If you're on the Sunday School Council and serving this current year on the Sunday School Council, please stand if you're here. Let's give these folks a round of applause. They go the additional mile. We have some interesting statistics this morning. Thanks to Don Wilson and the committee that counts all the attendance. When we first came up with the idea about High Attendance Sunday, we really haven't done a High Attendance Sunday in a long time here. And the purpose of doing a High Attendance is not just so we can pad the numbers and say, oh, look how good we are and beat our chest. It is to give the opportunity for you as Sunday School members and church leaders and members to make contact with those folks who maybe haven't been coming for a while, or those who don't come who you'd like to have come. And we'd like to be able to celebrate with them the opportunity to study in God's Word. We had today, I will give you some statistics. We had today 100% of our general officers in attendance in Sunday School this morning. Adult 4 had 80% attendance. Adult 3 had 70% attendance. Youth had 68% attendance. The total number in Sunday School was 319, which was the most we've had since March 7th of 2004. It's wonderful. Now, classes with high attendance. In Adult 4, the faith class had 100% attendance. They win the prize to go to the Bahamas. Not, that's not part of it, is it? It's not in the church budget, is it? Oh, I'm sorry. Strike that. Youth 1, 88%. The Ruth class in Adult 3, 76%. Youth 2 had 76%. And we had a total of 9 visitors in Sunday School this morning. So give yourself an applause for having a very successful time of fellowship and study this morning. We hope you'll enjoy this special celebration we're having this morning during worship. Please take the opportunity to get connected in Sunday School. Learn what getting connected means is searching the Bible and God's Word to find out how you can plug in into fellowship with our Lord and Savior. And I thank you for being here today.
It is time for us to begin our time of worship together, and I invite you to stand for our invitation to share in worship. You'll see this printed in your bulletin, and I invite you to read the dark print as I read the light print. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Thank you. continue, I need your participation this morning. Smiles, everybody, smiles. We are worshiping God and God alone. And that should bring us to the throne of grace with smiles on our face. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this glorious day that we have been given. Not just because the sun is shining, but because you are in this place. It is a beautiful day. Every day that we are given. Because you walk beside us, you give us a reason to live. Even on the darkest of days, when we trust in you, we find purpose. So, Father, in this hour of worship, we raise our spirits. We put smiles on our faces because we know deep down inside that you are alive and well. And no matter what we're facing outside of this place, you are still in control. And you love us with an eternal love. So, Father, may the smiles on our faces, the songs in our hearts, everything that is done in this service be done to glorify your name. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
And he was someone who believed that there was a God, but didn't believe he was the only God. And he would only do something for God if he got something in return. Well, he was on his donkey on a trip down this road, and the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in front of him, and he didn't because he just wasn't paying attention. And the donkey started speaking to him through the angel of the Lord. And he was asking him, what are you doing? Why aren't you doing this? And why aren't you listening to God? And why aren't you following him, what he's doing? And when I was a little girl, I thought this was the coolest story I've ever heard. I've never heard of any other talking donkey in my entire life. And that was just something that really stuck out to me when I was in Sunday school as a little girl. And one thing the donkey said was, then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth and said to Balaam, what have I done to make you beat me these three times? Balaam answered to the donkey, you have made a fool of me, and I have a sword in my hand, and I would kill you right now. The donkey said to Balaam, am I not your own donkey, which you have always ridden to this day? Have I not been in the habit of doing this to you? And so the donkey was trying to speak to him and get him to look to God and to look to him for guidance and everything. And I just thought that was a really cool story. And I was wondering if any of y'all had any other cool stories that y'all had heard in Sunday school.
Sunday school is one of my favorite parts of church. I like coming into my classroom and seeing all my friends. My teachers always seem happy to see me. We have fun talking and laughing, and I like hearing the Bible stories. I always learn something new every time I hear them. I like playing the funny games that Charlie and Mr. Robert come up with every week. I like learning the memory verses and getting Pastor Pal money. And I like praying for everybody's prayer request. Like I said, Sunday school is one of my favorite parts of church.
Thank you, Avery. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for letting these children want to come to Sunday school and want to learn more about your word and want to get involved. And I just thank you that they're all here this morning, that they decided on their own to come up and get into Sunday school. And just thank you so much for them and their smiling faces and them wanting to be here. In your name, amen.
The foundation of Sunday school is important, especially in the very young ages, as we can see. And as we go through life, as we venture through life and grow and mature, we find that as we evolve in our Christian walk with God and with Jesus, our perspectives change a little bit, perhaps. We mature, hopefully, as Christians. And I've asked a couple of folks, a young person, and a person who's been in Sunday school for a long time as well, to talk a little bit about what Sunday school means to them. And I'd like to invite Patrick Crist, if he can come up and give us a couple of minutes of testimony about why Sunday school is important in his life as a Christian.
Thank you, Fred. Well, I was first asked to do this being programmed by Wake Forest as a history major. I immediately thought, what research do I have to do? And then it dawned on me, it's my own life, so I don't need to worry about it. I've grown up in the buckle of the Bible Belt, so going to Sunday school was never anything really special that I thought to me. I always went with my parents, went to Sunday school every single Sunday, went to regular church, sat beside my grandmother, probably because someone had to sit in between my sister and myself to keep us from playing. But, you know, I've always been the type of person, I worship through people, getting to know people, seeing what talents they have, how I can help out, or how they can help me out. That's how I've always been able to get to the Lord. And I've been fortunate enough through this church, I've only been here from high school to now, to have three really best friends to come from here. And I'm very happy to say, for the first time in a long time, all three of them are here. That's because they go to different schools aside from one, not because they don't like church, I promise. For me, Sunday school has helped change friends into family. As I look out in the congregation, I don't see a bunch of random people brought together on a Sunday morning. I see parents and brothers and sisters and grandparents, all who love me and I love them. And that has been because of Sunday school and the various interactions I've had on Sundays and Wednesdays with this church. Sunday school, I've had some really good teachers, and it's always created a theological curiosity with me, and it's always reinforced Raymond's sermons. Not that they ever needed any help, I promise. But for me, sometimes it beats a certain passage into me, and I'll go back and I'll look it up. And it's something that I will need right at that particular moment. Any other time, it'd just be a bunch of random words put together. But at that one particular time in history, it was something valid that I really needed to hear. And so there's always a reason for me to be at Sunday school. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. And I'd like to ask Jack Hoyle if he can come up and give us a couple of words about his experiences in Sunday school. Jack?
When Roger called me, he gave me 3 minutes, and now Freddie gives me a couple words.
There's a happy million there somewhere, Jack.
As a youngster, I did not grow up in Sunday school. Not because my parents were not Christians, but we just didn't go to Sunday school. And so I was a freshman in college when I became a Christian and really began to attend Sunday school at the Boiling Springs Church at Gardner Webb University. And later, the church that Mary and I belonged to before we came here somehow asked me to teach a Sunday school class. I've had an interesting experience in Sunday school here at College Park. When we moved here in the summer of 1959, Foy Martin said to me, Jack, we're going to begin something new in our Sunday school. We're going to get the teachers together for a training course or a session before the Sunday school class on Sunday. And would you lead that? And so I agreed to do it. And would you know that the person who was then the superintendent of Sunday school left the church, moved away. And Foy said to me, well, Jack, you have it. And I said, I don't even know these people. How can I be the director of Sunday school? I'll help you, he said. And so I began at the top. The only person that I knew before who began a job at the top was the person who digs a hole. But my experience here at College Park has been one that has given me an opportunity to teach particularly older men. The class that I wound up teaching was the oldest men in the church. And that's the class that I've stayed with through these years. Sunday school to me gives a person an opportunity as a door into the church. We can invite somebody to come to our Sunday school class, and sometimes it results in that person becoming a member of our church. The Sunday school group, not like we are meeting now, provides a different kind of fellowship. Someone has said that we bring a bucket to the church, we expect the pastor to fill it up, and then we take it back home with us. In the Sunday school class, every person has an opportunity to contribute and to participate. And the study of the Bible has become very important to me. And the opportunity to teach Sunday school has helped me to study the Bible much more than I would have normally. The thing that I find important in the Sunday school is that all of us are seeking to find the will of God and to study His Word as a small group to discuss and to share what the will of God means to each of us. May not be the will of God for me in particular, but helps me to arrive through His Word what the will of God is. The Sunday school, you know, is important in the life of the church. And I am delighted to see that we are emphasizing that part of our church function here today. Thank you.
This is the third Sunday of Lent. As we began our journey, we talked about this is indeed a journey. It's a process. It's an opportunity for us as believers to seek to become more Christ-like in our attitudes, in our behavior, in our speech. And what better way to do that than to learn what Christ has taught us, what God has taught us through His Word. The symbolism of the table in front of me, I hope, has not been lost. Because since Ash Wednesday, we've had a burlap table covering. In the Old Testament, they talked about when it was time for repentance that they would clothe themselves, they would cover themselves in sackcloth and ashes. And so as we began this journey, we were depending on God to reveal Himself through His Word. God's Word truly is a light for our path. And as we see the Christ candle, it is illuminated because Christ lives within us. And the Holy Spirit, represented by flame at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is what resides within us to help us interpret God's Word. And as we see God's Word and it becomes a part of our life, then we understand where we need to be repentant, where we need to confess our sin. And so part of our journey together is that confession. It should be a part of our daily life. But in Lent, we focus on it a little bit more because we understand that Jesus was on a journey to Jerusalem, was on a journey to the cross. So I invite you this morning, as we begin a time of prayer of confession, to silently pray and ask the Father to reveal to you where you've fallen short of His standards. And then as He reveals that to you, our response to that is to agree with Him and to confess to Him that we hate our sin as much as He hates our sin. And as He does that, as we do that, then He will forgive us. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we come to You this morning and we ask most of all that You forgive us for the sin of arrogance and pride. We know that ultimately that is the sin that separates us from You. Because as we seek to run our own lives, to control our own lives, we've denied You as our Creator and our Sustainer. And we've also rejected the leadership of the Holy Spirit to guide us. We've also discounted the sacrifice of Christ by seeking to control our own destinies. So most of all, Father, forgive us when we try to make our own decisions without consulting Your Word and without consulting You. We know that You desire for us a path and a life that is more abundant than we can ever imagine. And we know that that begins as we confess our sins to You and allow You to make us a new creation in Christ. A new creation that can live truly free because we're not burdened with the sin of pride and the sin of wanting to be what we want to be. But Father, we desire what You want us to be, what You've created us to be. So now hear our hearts, hear our confession. Father, we thank You for creating us. We thank You for restoring the fellowship through the sacrifice of Your Son. And we thank You for the Holy Spirit who walks with us side by side each day. And we pray that we will look and be aware of opportunities that You give us to hear the bidding of the Holy Spirit. And that we would be obedient to Your calling. Dear Father, as we continue on our journey, we pray that we would grow more Christ-like. That would be our main objective, to learn Your Word, to learn how it applies to our lives, and to be obedient. And it's in the name of our precious Savior that we pray. Amen.
pray with me. Father, we have so many things to be thankful for this Sunday. We're talking about Sunday school. We're thankful for your word that after all these years is still alive and still fresh to us every Sunday. We thank you for the teachers who prepare and commit to lead us and to open their hearts and open their minds to us. We thank you for each and every person who comes to Sunday school and shares. We thank you for the relationships formed through these groups. We thank you for the knowledge that we all come in separate groups, but we all come together to study the Word and to be together as a church. We thank you for all these things that touch our hearts. It's this time that we come to offer a financial offering back to you to show how much we thank you for what you give to us. But let us also be especially mindful of the commitment that we need to make and to give not just of our finances, but of our time and of our energies and of our soul and our spirit to show that we are yours. We pray that you'll bless us in all that we do. Lead us and guide us. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Well, Fred, thank you for joining me this morning. When Mitch told me that the heat was not working in the sanctuary when we got here, I thought, well, maybe we really will need a fire for our fireside chat. But that worked out okay. So thank you for the properties committee who works underneath and make sure everything goes well. But as we talk about Sunday school, I wanted to just share one verse. And I think probably people my age and older learn this verse as kind of a theme for Sunday school. Do you remember it? 2 Timothy 2:15. Study. Say it with me. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And for me, that's how I grew up in Sunday school. You know, not being ashamed and taking God's word seriously and rightly dividing it. So I just wanted to start with that. And I know you have questions. I've got a few questions I want to ask you as director, but I'll let you shoot first.
Well, you know, Raymond, we're completely unrehearsed here. This is very extemporaneous. So
we wanted to be that way.
Because we wanted, you know, to be led by God in what our discussions are this morning. And as our bookmark talks about being connected. And by the way, I want to thank Don Wilson for doing this. He came up with the design of the theme and the bookmarks and did a lot of tireless work in putting all this together. So I thank
and
Don.
Publicity,
but, he did all that. And thank you, Don, wherever you are. But again, you know, this is the season of Lent. And we've been talking about for the last several weeks, Raymond, about Lent and the importance in a Christian's life. Why should we talk about Sunday school at a time during Lent? It's, you know, what's the reason for that?
Well, as we kind of talked to just a minute ago about the fact that Lent is a season of reflection. You know, we're reflecting on who we are. It's a journey where we're headed to the cross with Christ. And we're acknowledging our mortality, that we're the creation. We're not God. And we're also acknowledging our accountability before God. As we confess, we're agreeing with Him. God is holy, and we're not. And as we read His Word, it's a time for repentance. It's a time when we have to realize that repentance is a result of the revelation of God through His Word, through Jesus Christ as is revealed in His Word. And we also have to remember how Lent began. Because Lent came about, as we talked about on Ash Wednesday, in the latter part of the 3rd century. And it was the culmination, it was the last 40 days of 3 years of preparation. That if a person wanted to be a member of the church, they went through 3 years of Bible study. And Lent was just the last 40 days. It was the final preparation before they were baptized and became a church member. And so it's important for us to remember that we need to grow in Christ. With God's Word as our guide, we need to be growing. Unfortunately, there's a lot of baby Christians. And it was an issue that was being dealt with in the first century and still being dealt with. As we read Paul's letters and as we read James, we've talked about on Sunday night, that was one of the biggest problems is people acting very immaturely. You can spot these people as we read in Scripture by the way they act. You know, we talk about baby Christians, and what does that mean? And for me, the image I get is a child. When a small child does not get his way, what does he do? He kicks and screams and pouts and does whatever's necessary to get his own way.
That's right.
And a lot of times as Christians, we fall in that trap. When we're not getting our own way, we scream and cry and pout and do all those things. And that is not constructive for the body of Christ. And as we read God's Word, we find out ways that we're to safeguard ourselves against that kind of behavior. So that all goes into becoming more like Christ, to grow in our knowledge and application of who we are in Christ. And that's one of the things that Sunday school does the best. We're able to get together and to hold one another accountable and to study God's Word and apply it to our lives and see how relevant it still is. And again, grow closer to one another and grow closer to Christ.
You know, there's so much we don't know about God's Word. I mean, I'm always amazed when I open the Bible and study, and then I've read a verse for all these years, and then all of a sudden, 20 years later, you read that same verse, and you have an aha moment. I didn't realize it said that, and you've been reading it for decades, for instance.
You call it an aha moment, I call it Holy Spirit.
There you go, that's right. And it's just one of those things that just grabs you and say, I didn't know this before. And a lot of it has to do with where you are in life a lot of times, too. And when you're a young person, and just started going into Sunday school, whether you're in like kindergarten or first grade, and you have all these experiences where your teachers are talking about all the Bible stories, that kind of thing, and you don't realize it, how what kind of a foundation that's building. For instance, tell me a little bit of experience you've had as a child in your childhood with Sunday school.
I had great Sunday school teachers as a child. I grew up at First Baptist Hendersonville, and we had great Sunday school. And you know, I could name some Sunday school teachers, but the one I remember the most was the one that was the most demanding of me. She taught home ec. I had her in third grade for Sunday school, then I had to have her for introductory home ec in junior high. But I mean, her name was Miss Imogene Crawford, and I'll never forget it. Because in third grade, I memorized more scripture in that year probably than I ever have since. And she was the one a couple weeks ago, and I would held up that Bible that was so worn out and had the little gold seals in it. She was the one that we would stand before the class, and she said everybody should be able to stand and recite God's word before their peers. And she believed in that strongly. So we would stand and we would recite the 23rd Psalm, the 100th Psalm, the 121st Psalm, or you know, Beatitudes. And we'd recite these, and we'd get those gold seals. And so I've had a lot of good Sunday school teachers, but I'll never forget her name and influence that she had on my life, because she made it come alive for us. She really did. How about you?
Well, it's interesting. I didn't grow up as a small child. I grew up in a Presbyterian church.
I'm sorry. So. I'm so sorry, friend.
I
bless your heart.
Until I came to College Park. I should have said that, shouldn't I?
Was it out in front
of But I can remember some experiences I had at Vacation Bible School a long time ago, you know, and how important that was in my life, how we did all the little crafts and how we did all these little figurines, and we worked with little tiles that we did with glue. You remember those little, you know, back in Bible school, you had these little tiles you worked with, and you made all these kind of little designs and stuff. You know, that was kind of fun back in those days. But but when I was at College Park as a youth, 15, 16 years old, and I gained a lot of just close friendships. I remember back in those days, you know, Kent Hobson and some others and Carol Jones and others that I knew back in those days, and Donna Bates, where is she? There she is. We all grew up together in those days. And the friendship relationships I had back in those was what meant the most to me. And I think that's still true today for our young people. And then as we go, you know, as I grew up and got a little bit older in the teens, I can remember a very important thing. I don't remember going kicking and screaming, but I do remember Foy Martin asking me and several other 17-year-olds if we would have if he would lead a youth Bible study for us once a week if we'd come to it. And the purpose of that was to learn how to evangelize. You're talking about a 17-year-old learning how to do that. And Foy had several of us in the class. We talk about how important Jesus was in our lives and how important as a young person it was for us to be able to stand for what we believe. And if we believed that Jesus is the Son of God and He died for our sins, if we really believed it, that we'd stand for that. And that meant sometimes maybe talking to some of our friends who weren't Christians and how we're going to react to that. And he led that study, and I went to it. I learned an awful lot from that. As a matter of fact, we at the end of it, part of the course grade, I guess you might call it, was going out and actually doing some witnessing to some other teenagers. And we did that, and that was a very eye-opening experience. And that's something I think that we need to get back into for our young people as well. So
I think the youth-led Bible studies that I participated were something that were very crucial, and the friendships that I have to this day were a great part of my Bible school experience.
Very good. Very good.
What do you think, Raymond, are the biggest priorities today in Sunday school? Today?
Well, I think the priorities really haven't changed. You know, we talk about programs and different curriculums and everything, but I think the priorities of Sunday school really haven't changed. First of all, it needs to be Bible study. It needs to be Bible study and application. We read God's Word and we see how that applies to our life. The fellowship time is wonderful, but when we come to Bible study, we should be on God's Word, not on sports or the sale at the mall or politics or any of that stuff. We really should be engaged in God's Word, and that's where we need to be. The other part of that is fellowship. You know, you talked a lot about fellowship as a teenager and as adults also, but that fellowship is also more than just being friendly. It's prayer support. It's encouragement. It's accountability and knowing that you've got people that are in the gap there for you, that are standing with you. And that's critical. If the church is going to remain strong and if the church is going to be inclusive, welcoming new people, New people need to sense that they've got connections that will help them. So Bible study and application and fellowship with fellow believers. And I think the third part of that is something you've already touched on, is the fact of reaching outside of these walls. There's an old statistic, but I saw it reaffirmed about a year ago, that if there is a non-believer, and Jack, thank you for mentioning it, because it's still true, that if we invite people to Sunday school who are not yet believers — I don't believe in non-believers, I believe in not yet believers — we invite someone to Sunday school that is not yet a believer, statistically we know that one out of three of those within 18 months will profess Christ. Well, that's pretty good odds. That's pretty good odds. And we know that statistically beyond that 18 months, that the second out of the three come along. And there's no statistic in terms of being 100% in that regard, but I'll take one out of three. You know, I'll take two out of three. I think that's an important role, again, for Sunday school. And you mentioned Vacation Bible School. That used to be kind of one of the outreach arms of Sunday school and continues to be. So it's a wonderful opportunity. So Bible study and application, fellowship, accountability, and reaching out, inviting new people to be a part of the congregation. I think that's our priorities.
Right.
How about here at College Park, what can we do, Fred? I mean, you're Sunday school director, and Beth is your assistant, and you've got a wonderful Sunday school council that works with you. What can we do to strengthen Sunday school, continue to strengthen it here at College Park?
Well, I think that it's a challenge because, you know, we've got a wonderful group of people that come every Sunday morning and come to Bible study to learn more about God's Word. And we've got wonderful classes. We've got great teachers. In one aspect, you say, well, how can we improve on that? Well, I believe there are several things we can do. I think the one thing we can do is we can encourage others to volunteer to lead. We've got to be able to replenish our Sunday school leadership. We need to train up and raise up new
volunteers that'd be willing to to lead and to teach and to learn. Perhaps we need to have some more training classes on how to teach God's Word. Just because we are a Christian and have given our lives to Christ doesn't mean we know how to teach the Word. It's like if you're learning, you pass your history course in high school, doesn't mean you can teach history. You've got to take that extra step to be able to meet the challenge of doing that. And we need to be able to grow our Sunday school. If we have a goal as a church to bring in not yet believers, unchurched people, we've got to have a way to get them in Bible study. And if we don't grow our classes or plant new classes and have people willing to say, yeah, I wouldn't mind starting a new class. And all it takes is how many? Two or three, right? You can start a class of two or three people, and whether it be a study class or a topical class, whatever it might be. So we need people that would say, yeah, I think it's important that we strengthen our Bible study, and I'm willing to help and do that. And how can we encourage those people to do that? So I think that's what we need to do.
Okay. Well, you've mentioned, you know, strengthening Bible study and new believers. For new believers and new church members, it's important. I think we can agree that it's important for them to be involved in Sunday school. But how relevant is group Bible study for folks who are not yet believers?
It's extremely relevant. Let me ask a general question, not you and everybody else. On top of that, so I can answer it for you. How else do we learn to form and verify what we believe? If we're not in Bible study, how else can we question what we believe? To make sure that you stand on what you believe, you've got to understand where it comes from. Christians have to be able to discern biblical truth from worldly views. How can you, as a Christian, understand what you believe if you can't, you know, discern the noise out in the world from what God is leading you to believe? How do you discern false teaching from biblical truth? You've got to be able to understand God's Word. You've got to be able to get into it, study it. And group Bible study affords you the opportunity to have that give and take. Whether it's in a outside study with some friends, or whether it's organized Bible study in church, like Sunday school. You can have folks that get together and maybe even argue or have healthy debate or whatever it is.
We call it discussion.
Discussion, excuse me.
We don't argue.
And to understand, how does this apply to my life? How is this word going to apply to me? And maybe somebody else across the room can say, well, this is how it applies to me. And maybe you can learn from that person. Group Bible study is essential. And I, you know, we've got a men's Bible study that meets every Sunday, every Saturday morning. I just started going to recently. And I had wish I'd started a year or two ago, you know, just need to get up a little early on Saturday mornings, I guess. But basically, it's a wonderful time of sharing. And the same thing can happen in Sunday mornings where we have the ability to get together with people. If you're not being challenged in life, you don't grow. If you're not being challenged in life, you don't grow. If you're not being challenged in what you believe, you're not growing. You've got to have that opportunity to be challenged, and you can do that in group Bible study. You may learn something about somebody else that you didn't know. You might strike out new friendships in that group study. And you need to be able to have that ability to do that. The understanding God's will. A little technical.
I think you're getting this technical support here. Okay. I haven't gotten a sign from up there yet.
I got a sign going that way. Okay. Having the opportunity to understand God's will and have Him reveal His will through study and experience with other people is extremely important. So that's why I think it's so important for group Bible study.
Fantastic.
Unfortunately, Sunday school is the only time during the week for some, though, to experience God's Word and discuss with others. And how can, Raymond, our people take study to the next level and take it from a group setting to an individual setting where they're yearning to learn more about it on their own?
Sure. Patrick, I was interested to hear what Patrick had to say in his testimony, because he talked about how sometimes something he would study in Sunday school kind of whetted his appetite, you know, and he wanted to go and to read it more and to research it more. And I think that's also something that Sunday school does for us as believers and not yet believers, for those who haven't developed a quiet time yet, a personal Bible study time. As you read a passage, you think, wow, you know, that's, you know, that I didn't know that before, you know, and it kind of gets your interest. It cultivates your interest. And as we apply it, you think, well, you know, that does apply to me. It does speak to my everyday life. So I think Sunday school gives us an introduction maybe sometimes to God's Word. If you encourage discussion, I think people begin to see that it does apply to them. And they take it more seriously, and that maybe they want to get more application and more help for their devotional life. And I think it's also important, you know, if you think back about the stories, and it was good to hear Bryn tell the story of Balaam and Balaam's donkey. And I take great comfort in the fact that if God can speak through Balaam's donkey, maybe He can speak through me.
And, I'm not going so there. That's all, yeah. we won't go there.
But God's Word is full of stories about how God used ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And again, that's a great comfort as well. If we humble ourselves and, you know, if we make ourselves available and we try to remain a clean vessel, and hopefully that's something that Sunday school helps cultivate. So, Sunday school, Fred, is, you know, we've talked a little bit about relationships and that accountability thing, and I know that most of our classes do a great job with that. What has been your experience in regards to kind of building relationships in Sunday school, the small group study?
Well, I know that in our class, in Pool Barbie class, we have a very close fellowship. We have a lot of folks in our class, and we try to have regular fellowships and outside the church. And we had a fellowship not long ago where everybody got together and line dance, learned how to line dance. I mean, it doesn't always have to be, you know, about...
Can we say dance?
It wasn't a church.
Creative movement. When we start our church...
It's creative movement, that's right, to country music. Yeah.
Well, we may be the only church that started in a dance hall, so I guess we can say
that.
There you go.
Okay. That's right.
All right.
But things of that nature are just a lot of fun. People get together and have fun and can fellowship together and kid with each other and all in the spirit of Christ. And it's just a wonderful feeling. And folks who haven't come to or haven't joined the class yet are really missing out on a lot of things in their life, a lot of fun, the opportunity to meet new friends. And to just know that you're going to be taken care of, that people care for you enough to wrap their arms around you in the good times and laugh with you, and wrap their arms around you in the bad times when you're suffering. And that's what Sunday school is all about, I think.
Okay.
So I think it's just great. Being a Sunday school teacher is one of the most important jobs in the church, I feel. And I think I need to ask, what should we be doing to cultivate and support these workers?
It was great to see the number of people that have taught or are currently teaching. And I think, Fred, we need to recognize, as we've talked about before, that all of us are ministers. We're all called to be ministers. And teaching is a gift.
And for those who have been given that gift, I think we need to give them opportunities to know how to cultivate that gift and to minister in the way that they've been gifted to do. As it is with all ministers, we need to support one another. We need to encourage one another. Put selfish stuff aside and really encourage one another to use our gifts as part of the body of Christ, to be the hands and feet, to be a part of this body. Because the church is not this building. The church is not the staff. The church is not the Sunday school council. The church is all believers. It's all believers. As we encourage one another to use our gifts, then that's the most important thing we can do. So I would say encourage those who've been gifted, provide training for them. And if you really want to thrill your Sunday school teacher, study your lesson. Know the scripture when you come in. Know some practical application. Encourage other people to do the same thing. Discuss and invite new people to be a part of Sunday school.
That's an excellent way to do it.
Fred, thank you, buddy. I really have appreciated what you all did, the Sunday School Council and your leadership and Beth and all those on that council and the hard work and the publicity that was done to make today happen. And I hope that if you're not involved in a Sunday School class, that you will use today as a time to say in your heart, yes, next Sunday morning, I'm coming at 9:30.
9:30
next Sunday morning. And if I'm not in a Sunday school class, come to the Information Center and they can let you know all the rich classes that are out there. Just the wonderful opportunities for fellowship and Bible study, accountability and support and encouragement and outreach that we have through our Sunday school. Thanks again, Fred. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Appreciate your hard work. We're not going to invite you to join a Sunday school class down here this morning. We'll give that opportunity to you next week. But we do want to give you an opportunity to respond to what you've experienced in worship. We're going to stand in just a moment. We're going to sing. And if you're not a believer or not yet a believer, we want to give you an opportunity to respond to the calling, the beckoning of the Holy Spirit. And I'll be glad to share with you how you can receive Christ. Also, if you're not a member of this church, we won't make you go through 3 years. Mitch, we're having problems with the mics this morning, buddy, I tell you. We won't make you go through 3 years of training, but we will encourage you to be a part of a Sunday school class to grow in your knowledge of Christ. So if you'd like to join this congregation, we'd love to talk with you about the ways we receive a membership. If you'd just like to be part of a wonderful, loving, encouraging body, we invite you to come. Whatever your decision may be, we invite you to make that public as we stand and sing together now. remain standing for just a minute. This morning we have coming with us Margaret Carroll, and she is already involved in a Sunday school class. Fantastic. She's coming by letter from the Alabaster Baptist Church in Alabama, so she's a Southern girl. And she is coming to join with us by transfer a letter from Alabaster Baptist Church. If you will continue to support and love and encourage her, would you join me in saying amen?
Amen. Amen.
Fantastic. We invite you to come welcome her. And if a couple members of Sunday school class want to come stand with her, we'd love for them to come as well to support you and encourage you. Come by and see her and encourage her and say a word of encouragement as we leave here. I invite you now to remain standing with me for a spoken word of benediction from the book of Romans. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.